Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
The weekend is here. Ready to start your projects around the house?
I'm in the process of refinishing a concrete patio.
Better put your game face on. And get ready to work.
What was that?
All I did was turn on the water.
But if you need a little help, now's the time to call Lou.
Adrian, you're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
I love your show. I look forward to it every Saturday.
He's taking your calls for the next 3 hours.
We got a lot of love today. This is really good for my ego.
Right here on House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN.
Oh, a little journey, too, with the whole story about Steve Perry, like, coming back from the into the world. Hi, everybody. Lou Manfredini. House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. This hour of the show is sponsored by Fox Home Center and by Ace Hardware. Why isn't that going down when I do that? Hold on. Can you ask Ferguson to come in here? Hey, Ferg. Oh, he's got it. He's doing it. My little fader on my hot is not working, so I meant to fade that out. Hi, everybody. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Happy to be with you here this morning. Interesting thing later on. Good morning, Domati and Joe and Lindsay. Nice to see you all this morning. Joe, you're done with your season, right? With the Kane County Cougars?
Yeah.
They didn't make the playoffs?
Came to a dramatic end late Monday night.
Sorry about that.
Thanks. That's okay. This is my first Saturday off in 6 months.
Wow. That'll be fun. Right?
Yes. Yes.
That's good. So the traveling will settle down a little bit? And
Yeah. Should be here all winter long.
That's good. That's nice. Domati, you going anywhere?
No, I'm just happy Joe's in here.
I know.
I miss Joe when he's not around.
You and I were trading, and Joe and I and Lindsay, you're a beautiful girlfriend, Kia, actually sang the national anthem at Jazz Fest last week.
She did.
You sent us this awesome video of her singing.
She looked great.
She looks beautiful. And I'm looking at the video, and I send it to Domati. I go, is it just me, or does the sound not work? Yeah. And then Joe goes, oh, I thought it was me.
I thought it was me, too. I was like, what is happening?
The boyfriend messed that one up.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
You were in the doghouse.
Let me tell you guys, too, I was so excited. I got this new little microphone thing. I'm like, this is going to be a noodaloo, too.
It was
it's this great external microphone. I'm going to start reporting with this. It was beautiful. I'm like, it's going to sound crisp and clear. And I didn't turn the thing on.
Oh,
I didn't.
My gosh.
Put it on the mic.
That's the worst.
Yes.
She's like, Domati, let me see. I can't wait to hear my... that's as a singer, that's
sure.
I want to hear what it sounded like. So
right.
That's a big thing.
So as soon as she finished, I texted the video to her. And she was like, thanks for being here, babe. And I was like, why is she just saying thanks for being here? No enthusiasm. And then I get the text from you guys that there's no sound.
Yes. Well, the crowd, you said she sounded great, so we're going to...
Yeah.
She has a beautiful... We've heard her sing.
Yes,
she's got a beautiful
voice. Awesome.
It's on our Instagram page. Now I tagged you guys in it. Her name's Gifted Keys on Instagram, so if you guys want to check it out...
I will.
We will. Listen to her.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very nice. Well, nice to see you all this morning. We've got a bunch of things coming up today. Actually, we talked a little bit. Joe said Northwestern has their home opener today against Duke. John Williams is actually going to be out at Northwestern, and we're going to be checking in with him during our 9 o'clock hour of the show, and we're going to talk a little Northwestern football as well after 9:30. So Joe, make sure you stick around, because I don't have a ton of knowledge of Northwestern's team. I know they got some big transfer right from Auburn or Alabama.
Yes
Auburn,
the name's escaping me, but yes.
Right, but he can't play this year. Some big transfer, and he has to sit out this year, which is great. I have a funny story I'm going to share with you after 9 o'clock, because I used to date a girl who went to Northwestern back in the 80s, and we used to go to the Northwestern games, and I'm going to share with you after 9:30 the cheer that I learned. Now, I was in high school. She was a year older than me. You know, I always went for the older girls because I was so mature. And I have a cheer that we used to sing back in the 80s.
Oh, my gosh.
That was something that anybody that went to Northwestern in the 80s, they will remember this cheer. Stay tuned after 9:30 this morning.
They don't do it anymore?
They don't have to. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
So anybody that's of that vintage will be like,
what a
I know exactly what he's going to do coming up after 9:30.
Can I tell you, it just sparked my memory with the cheer. This totally
were you ever a cheerleader?
No, I always wanted to be. That was what I, like, all those little posters that are like, oh, Mom, this is my first day of kindergarten. When I grow up, I want to be a cheerleader.
Right.
And I never was.
What was the thing that you said to me when we were walking in this morning about your daughter, Sadie? That she's just like her mother, not because she has a beautiful singing voice.
Cheering she could do, but we have her on a soccer team.
She's a little clumsy.
She's a little clumsy. I'm not an athlete by any means.
Which I'm sure, because if you've never met Lindsay before, she's tall. I'm sure people say to you, oh, did you play basketball?
Oh, basketball, volleyball.
Right.
I mean, and that was
that's all they ever say to my daughters, who...
Who
did play
do
sports.
Play. Right. That was the running joke in college, was when we would be out, my friend, people would say, oh, do you play volleyball? And then my friend would jump in, Brandy, and answer for me. So she does. She does. And then I would have to go into this whole story about how I'm this, you know, it was pretty funny because I am the opposite. I don't know one thing. Even like putting the shin guards on her yesterday, I was upside down.
So she's got a big soccer game today.
Sadie comes down with a basketball and she's like, okay, Mom, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well.
Well, 5-year-old soccer is awesome because you'll just see this group of kids that just move with the ball. It's almost like a beehive that goes around there. It's pretty funny.
I can't wait. Yeah.
That's fun. That's good. All right. Well, nice to have you all here this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about a really fun Noodaloo 2 as it pertains to sharing your memories and photos that are sitting on your phone and you don't know what to do with. It's really cool. We'll talk about that about 7:50 this morning. And but mostly what I want to do is take your phone calls at 312-981-7200. This is Clarence in Bolingbrook. Clarence, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. How can I help you, sir?
Quick question. So I had a leak underneath my kitchen sink. And I looked at it, took apart the strainer, body flange, saw that the fiberglass or the fiber washer was disintegrated. I replaced all that, reassembled the flange assembly back into the sink, and the sink still leaks. I went to the hardware store, and they told me I needed to use some plumber's putty
underneath the metal flange on the top of the sink.
Right. Now I have a ceramic sink, so I didn't know if it was okay to use plumber's putty or if I need, like, some silicone material.
So here's what you're going to do is, unfortunately, you got to take apart that drain assembly. Well, let me ask you this. So there's nothing underneath that top shoe of the drain there?
Well,
that metal flange that you see that's clamped over the top of the sink is called the shoe. And so when you disassemble that on the underside, so you're going to have that in your hand now, you're going to take plumber's putty, and there's a couple different ways to do this, right? Some guys roll it like a piece of spaghetti and then put it around. Some plumbers, the guy that I learned from, the plumber that taught me this when I was a plumber's apprentice for part of my career, is that you take a thumb of plumber's putty and you put it around the edge and you cut it off. And you've got to put enough in there that it's got to overlap every time. And when you reassemble this and you start to tighten it, you should see plumber's putty coming out all the way around the edge as you're screwing it down. Then you'll just take your finger or a putty knife and kind of remove what's there, what you see. And then if you still kind of, you're like, I don't like how this looks, you take a little toothpick and you edge it out again, and then until you can't see it. Against the ceramic, it's absolutely fine, or the porcelain, whatever it may be. And then you tighten that up and you get it. Remember, you don't want to, it needs to be snug, but not like cranked tight, right? Because you'll snap the sink if you're not careful. And then you reassemble it, and that's what it is. But that trick is plumber's putty.
Okay. All right, that's what I needed. Thank you so much, sir.
You're a good man. Have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. Quick break, and we'll be back right after this. Here's Chris in Addison. Chris?
Hi, Lou.
How are you? How can I help you?
Good. Hey, first of all, I wanted to say, I told my mom about a month ago, I wanted to thank you all for the service that you're providing. I talked to my mom about this problem about a month ago, and she told me to call in to the show, and I've been listening to you guys ever since. I don't miss it every single week, so I love the service you're providing.
Thank you very much. Thank you. How can I help you this morning?
Yeah, so I have a window well drain that's clogged and fills up. We have a sub-basement, so the drain is actually about 48 inches deep and about 44 inches down. I've got a light, and I've gone in there, and I used some ingenuity to take out some of the mud that's in there. There's mud and rocks in there, and I got down about 44 inches, and now I've got a few rocks and mud, and I'm not sure if a hydrojet would be something that I could use to blow that out and get to the final area. I've gotten some quotes from other people that are trying to bypass it and put in a different drain and other things, but I didn't want to do that. I wanted to try to clean out this drain if possible.
Well, does this drain, do you know where this drain goes? Like, does it go into your drain tile and then into your sump pump?
It ends up in the sump pump.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So it does. So maybe what you should do is, you know, if you get a hand auger, right, like a sink auger, there are different tips that you can get on the end of those. Like if you rented one, you can buy one inexpensively, but you could get something that had that you could loosen all that up with, and then if it's mud and rocks, do you own a shop vac?
Yes, I do. Okay. That's actually how I drained a lot of the
right. So if you use that auger to loosen the things up, and the shop vac has a big enough hose in there, you can place that down in there with a longer hose or an attachment. Just make sure it's all connected properly, because it may loosen up when you're in there, and then suck up what you can. I wouldn't try pushing more through. I'd try and suck out as much as you can, because then if it gets clogged as it goes down to the drain tile, you'll never reach it. And then once it's clear, the way you're really going to know if you can take that water is use a 5-gallon bucket of water and dump that down the drain. That volume of water is what you're trying to see that it can take. It can take a hose sometimes, no problem, because it's not enough volume. But if you dump a big 5-gallon bucket down there and it takes it all, then you know you cleared it and you should be good to go. Chris, I'm just bumping up against news time, so I got to put you on hold there. It's 7:33 in the morning.
Get smart.
My dad.
About your home.
Lou Manfredini.
It's House Smarts Radio with Lou Manfredini.
Welcome back. Now it's working. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini here with you, House Smarts Radio. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Let's talk with Vicki, who's in Chesterton. Hey, Vicki, you're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. I have a question about windows.
Okay.
And I guess it's a two-pronged question. I'm just not sure what I should do. I should say my house was built in 67. I've only lived there for the last 20 years.
Okay.
The house windows are original, and they're wooden, I mean, around it and everything. They don't have that pulley system or anything, but they're definitely older, and there is a breeze that comes through. Now, little pieces, I guess, of the caulking have been falling off the last few years.
Okay.
And I was thinking about getting a home equity loan and just getting new windows, because it'd be probably about 15 windows, including up front. Window that's the big one.
Yep.
So I wasn't sure. My son said, you can just, you know, pull all the caulking out and clean it off and put new caulking on. You should be fine. And I said, well, I'm planning on selling probably within the next 10 years. My question is, what do you think should be the best way I should go?
Okay. A couple things. You know, with windows that you talk about, you feel a draft and, you know, they're probably not the most energy efficient windows. You will feel a remarkable difference by replacing those windows with modern thermal pane windows in the overall comfort of your home, as well as a remarkable difference in the energy cost to heat and cool your home throughout the year. And if you're in that kind of 10-year window of, you know, hey, I'm going to sell in 10 years, if you go and replace the caulking and do whatever, I promise you, when you go to sell that home, Vicki, they're going to say, great house, love Chesterton, but the windows are old and I need to replace them in 10 years from now. The replacement cost is going to be more than it is right now. And whatever you're asking for the house, you're going to lose that because they're going to negotiate it. Plus the fact you've paid extra for the energy bills for the past 10 years, right?
Okay, yeah, but actually my energy bills are not bad. I mean, it's just me.
Yeah.
It is a two-story home.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm pleased with my energy bills compared to all the people that live around me.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, that's part of the equation. And if yours aren't bad and it's not costing you a lot of money, then maybe that's not a huge factor. Do all of the windows you currently have operate properly?
They go a little squeak, and they do...
But do they go up, and you're not using a spoon to keep them open or anything like that?
No, no.
Right.
They just are hard to push up. You know, it's not easy. I don't know. Can you... Do you use WD-40 on them or anything?
You can use, there's wax sticks that you can use. There are some lubricants you can use. I mean, there's no question that you could have someone come in and re-caulk and kind of tweak those windows to get them to operate properly. Now, if the draft is coming through the jams of the doors and the windows, you know, it might not be as easy to seal those out. Now, to keep this in mind, on average, if you were going to replace those windows with vinyl windows, you'd probably spend for a decent window around $500 to $700 an opening, okay?
Okay.
So if you count 17 windows and you do the math, that kind of gives you a number of what you're going to spend. If you want to go up to a fiberglass window, which is a better quality window, you're going to spend a little bit more than that. You're probably going to start around the $700 range. So, you know, it's a question of the investment you want to take, the money you want to spend. If you had someone do the caulking and trying to tweak them all, you know, say you spent $100 a window, I'm just, you know, making up a number, that now we're talking about spending a couple of grand to tweak them, but they're still going to be windows from 1967, and they're not going to get any better as the years go on, you know what I mean? And so if that's in the back of your mind, it might be, look, you have nothing to lose getting estimates on these windows. And you could go with someone locally. I work with the Gilkey Window people. You can certainly contact them. There's no pressure to buy, you know. It's no, you know, anybody that comes in and says, oh, you know, Vicky, if you sign right now, I'm going to give you this deal. Don't sign it. Just get the estimates. And, you know, don't commit to it, and then you decide what fits your budget. But, look, windows and doors, kitchens, and the, you know, I talk a lot about the fact that when you are creating a home where it has good bones, the heating system, the foundation's dry, the windows and doors are in good shape, that's always going to come to pay you back. And it's going to pay you back in ease of use of how you live in your home, comfort level in your home, energy savings, although you say that's not so bad with you. But it's always gonna pay you back, and I'm a firm believer in that. It's just a question of what fits your budget.
Right. Now, will I lose all that charm of the wood around it and everything?
If they're replacement windows, the actual framing of the windows and everything stays, you know, the trim part stays. They insert these windows now, and the nice thing about the difference between fiberglass windows and vinyl windows, typically the fiberglass windows give you more glass that mimics what you have right now because the framing of it is more rigid and stronger. And I think that you get a look that's almost exactly what you have right now.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah. So get the estimates and see what happens, and then you decide for yourself what you think works.
Okay. Thank you very much. And like I want to repeat what the guy said before me. You are awesome.
You're very nice. Thank you, Vicky. That's very nice of you to call and say nice things about me, because all I do is get yelled at by everybody else around here.
Now break, please.
We'll be right back. No, that's not it.
Well, this is her.
You're tuned in to House Smarts Radio. Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini.
Thanks, Cash. Welcome back. Oh, by the way, my son Massimo is heading to go, he may already be there, taking his ACT for the last time. He's going to be so happy when he's done.
Are the ACTs taken only on Saturday, or some taken tomorrow, too?
I don't know. I think mostly Saturdays. They move them around.
So I asked a babysitter to watch the girls tonight, and she said, oh, no, I have the ACTs on Sunday. Do you think she was lying to me? Busted!
Sunday?
Deleted.
I don't think it's a Sunday.
From my list.
Yeah, the ACT's on Saturday. Yeah. Pretty sure. I don't know. But anyway, Max, good luck. Just let it go.
Let it go.
I read the most interesting article about Kristen Bell, who is the Let It Go girl.
Yes.
Right?
Well, kind of. She didn't sing Let It Go.
Oh, no. But she's the... Who is she?
Anna.
Yeah. She's really...
First time in forever.
On American Airlines. She's super cute.
Yeah.
And her story is really good about how she got involved in acting, and she seems like a pretty grounded... She's a Michigan girl. Did you know that? She's from Michigan?
I don't think I did.
Yeah. Good
and she's very protective of her kids. I read that article, too. Like,
well,
she
and her husband
pictures.
Did a whole thing with... Remember, they did the whole thing about not photographing their kids, with the, which is smart, right? They're the ones in the public eye. They've signed up for that, but not their kids.
I don't want to name drop, but I saw her once at a restaurant, and she, like, totally smiled at me. We made eye contact.
Remember when you snuck into the WGN television studios to take a picture? You wanted to meet Kristen Wiig. And you did like a selfie with like a crazy face, and she was looking right at
you. The camera. It's like a selfie, and she's looking right at the camera as I was trying so hard to be slick.
Yeah. Not much.
That was funny.
But you know what you could do with that picture? Mm-hmm. You could take that picture and you could use it on our Noodaloo too. One of the things that I am most proud of that we created in our home is that we have all these pictures of our family when you walk up the staircase of our home. And it is pictures of all of our kids and our family and events and things that we have. And it's really super interesting because every time I go up the stairs, and we update the pictures all the time, but I get to stop and I get to see different parts of our life, whether it's a picture of my father-in-law or my grandfather, whom I never met, or a picture of Quinn when he was 5 years old on a baseball diamond or something like that. It's really cool. Our Noodaloo 2 helps you take all those photographs that are sitting on your phone and actually do something similar to it. Take a listen.
1, 2, 3,
I love my kids. Who doesn't like their kids? I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't like my kids. What I'm trying to say is we all like our own kids. We love showing off pictures of them. Our phones are at the ready to show off their latest, cutest picture or milestone moment. However, if you're like me, these pictures don't always make it on display at home. It's time-consuming to pick out those photos, blow them up, and put them in frames to be displayed, especially if you have to hang them. Those things can be super annoying.
Shoot.
All of these reasons combined are why I love our Noodaloo 2. Mixed tiles. Mixed tiles are 8-inch by 8-inch square foam tiles on which your pictures can be printed. These super lightweight pictures have adhesive tabs on the back to stick them to the wall, damage-free. And they can be stuck and restuck again and again to change the design. The tiles cost $49 for your first three, with each additional tile costing $9. Shipping is free on all orders. You just download their app, select the photos from your albums, input your payment information and address, and then push order. The tiles will show up at your doorstep within a few days. Easy peasy and a great way to display your fam or your adventurous life or whatever you want to show off. And a fun personal way to cover some wall space without spending a fortune on fancy art. For more information, you can visit mixtiles.com. There's a little how-to video they have on their site. You can download the app or check out Lou's Facebook page where I'll put all of the information. That's this week's New to Lou 2.
You and I had a discussion about this earlier about the mixed tiles. Did you see the text from my wife?
No.
When my wife and I talked about these mixed tiles, I thought it was expensive. Three tiles for $49. And even my wife said, that's kind of expensive. And then how much is an additional tile?
$9.
But you brought up an interesting point about the cost. Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. So we have this wall on in our family room, which is the wall that you see in the video if you go to Facebook, which we demoed this on. And I said
to you, oh my gosh, you should do this.
Right. And my husband and I are back and forth, but what we should put there. And after you left and you took everything with you, he said, you know, those looked really good.
You take everything with me.
Whatever. We had to take them down. I love your family, but I don't know if that was the right wall for all of those folks.
Right, exactly. Why is there a picture of Lou and his family on our wall? We're close.
All of them. But he said, I approve. Like, he's like, we should do that on this wall. That's what we should do. And, you know, we'd probably get more than 12. I think 12 when we ordered it was like $140.
Right.
If we got more than that, it might be between, you know, 200
I'm sure they have a coupon.
Maybe.
Right?
Maybe.
Right.
And if we had gone out to an art shop or wherever and gotten another piece of art, that would have been way more expensive than the $200 that we'll spend on these tiles.
I promise you that if
and
you
it's going to be a great conversation it's piece, such, focal point.
And the
of
pictures
the
are so nice. Right. They kind of have a matte finish to them, so they look really nice on the wall. And what you said is your OCD would drive you crazy about the fact that you constantly have to organize them. It's double-sided tape
straighten
on the back.
Out, right.
So you put them right there and you click. And with the double-sided tape, you have the ability to kind of just a little bit, right, if you don't get it quite right. I think it's great. And if you're looking to do something on a wall to make it so personal and so much fun, and even if you think, oh, well, the pictures will get dated, they won't. Mm-hmm. As you grow older and you live in your house longer, you'll look at that. You have no idea the joy. It's funny. My wife's office, we have our office in our home, and she works from home, in our office, which is at the top of the stairs. And I'll come upstairs. She'll be like, can you bring me whatever? And to this day, I'll come up the stairs and I'll stop because I'll get lost in a photo that brings back a memory of whatever it is.
Right.
And it's the sweetest thing. Oh, I remember being at that softball game, or I remember being at that wedding. There's a really cute picture of Quinn and Carmen dancing at Mary Beth's cousin Joe's wedding, Joe and Nicole's wedding. And they're dancing I think she was a flower girl. And they're just dancing, having the best time. And it's so sweet to see those things. So anyway, check it out. Mixed Tiles. It's up on our Facebook page as well.
Hey, this is Quinn Manfredini, host of Deep Dish Sports Talk. You're listening to House Smarts Radio and my dad, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Kiki, do you love me?
Are you riding? This hour, House Smarts is sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems and by ChevyDriveChicago.com. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Albert is in Lombard. Albert, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Nice talking to you. I got a problem here. I got a brand new GE wash machine, and in the book talks about the sounds. Every time the electric motor reverses its directions, the lights on in that circuit all blink. I'm wondering if I got an electrical problem.
The lights on the whatever. So it's a. Is it a top load, front load? What is it?
Top load, GE,
and it's brand new.
Brand new, yeah.
And where is it? Is it in a laundry room, in a basement? Where is it located?
In the basement.
And this never happened before with the old unit.
No.
All right, let's try this. In the basement, this area where you've got the laundry room, it's an unfinished basement?
Right, unfinished.
The whole thing, the whole basement, or?
Well, I got paneling along about three-quarters of the basement walls.
Okay, and to the best of your knowledge, where it's plugged in, is that the only circuit you have down there?
No, I got quite a few.
All right, let's take an extension cord. And let's plug in that washing machine into an extension cord, and let's plug it into a different circuit and see what happens.
Right now?
No. I mean, you can do this. No, you can do this later when you're running the load,
okay,
and see if you get. See, you know what I'm curious about is, and you probably don't know this because they probably took the old unit away, is what size? What's the draw of this unit? I got to imagine that it's it probably has a. I mean, it's plugged into probably a 15-amp circuit, but it could maybe it may need a 20-amp circuit. Do you know what circuit that is that it's plugged into?
Yeah, I went to the electric box and I got these screw-in type of fuses, and it's a 15.
It's a 15. It could be because it's a modern one, it needs a 20-amp, which is why you're drawing, because that startup, when it goes, is probably drawing more than 15 amps. But those screw-in fuses are not, they're not going to pop. It's probably right there. But if you've got other screw-ins that are 20 amp that you can try, plug it into there. If you see that that's doesn't occur, then we may have to do some electrical work to make sure you got the proper coverage for that circuit feeding that washing machine.
Yeah. Well, I thought I might call ComEd and have them come out and check my electric, or call an electrician and come him out.
Right. If what I'm asking you to do, if you pull this in, you plug it into a 20-amp circuit and you don't see the lights blinking at all, then that's your issue, is that that circuit is too small on the amperage and needs, you can't just screw in a 20 amp. You've got to get that done properly. And if you've got an older box, then that would be something you need an electrician to do. ComEd's not going to do that for you, but a licensed electrician would.
Okay, Lou.
All right, sir.
I think covered all our bases. Thank you.
I appreciate you calling this morning. Let's speak with Lucy, who's in Huntley. Hi, Lucy. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am fantastic. How are you?
Okay. I have a little problem, which is a really big problem, only it's a big problem because it's still summer.
Okay.
My refrigerator, before I call you, I went through the book where it says it, before you call for service, I
call
read
Lou Manfredini. Is that what it says in the book? Before you call for service, call Lou Manfredini.
That's right. Even before I read the book, I had you in mind. I was just waiting for Saturday. My refrigerator, I think it was Tuesday had to be, because of the rain and storms, I really didn't hear what was going on with it, you know?
Okay.
And this happened on Sunday morning. I heard a noise, but I thought it was the thunder, so I didn't pay attention. But then it's not making, you know, it's on. It cools off. It cools, but it doesn't freeze. And we check everything. You know, we check where the air goes through to the ice box, you know, to the refrigerator side. We checked all that. Nothing is blocking anything. The lines are clean. The water comes out nice and clean. We just put in a new filter I think it was in October. Water filter.
Lucy, hold on a second. How old is your refrigerator?
I bought it back in 2004.
Okay. And you said the freezer won't freeze?
Uh-huh. It only cools. Okay. The air is only cool.
But the refrigerator is plenty cold?
No.
Oh, not even the fridge?
No.
Okay. Have you defrosted this unit yet?
Oh, it's clean. There's no ice. There's nothing. It's clean as can be.
Oh, you mean it's empty right now?
There's no ice. Does it make any ice?
No, but I understand. Have you unplugged it?
Oh, yes, I have.
Let it defrost for, you know, over 6 hours?
Oh, yes, okay. I have. Because there's no frost. There's nothing.
No, I understand.
Nothing.
I understand that. Okay, hold on.
Okay.
So my point is, once you have done that, your only alternative is to have an appliance repair person come out and test the compressor and make sure that it's working. But here's the thing. You're going to spend $120 on an appointment to have them come out and take a look at it. And they may determine, oh, yeah, we could add some refrigerant, or this compressor is no good. It's going to cost $400 to replace the compressor, or depending on who you contact to do the service, many times they will apply the service call towards a new refrigerator. So it all depends on the money that you want to spend. With a 2004 refrigerator, you know, it's a pretty old fridge. I don't necessarily know that I would spend the money on a service call on something like that.
Oh, okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Because everything that you have done already, if it's not cooling and you've adjusted the thermostat, everything's clean, you've done everything you can. If you call for a service call, it's going to cost you $120. Maybe they can fix it, but chances are they're going to tell you it's something major. And I think that perhaps you're in the market for a new refrigerator. And you could certainly call our friends at Apt or other appliance stores that you are familiar with that come out and or actually go there and pick out a fridge to replace it. Lucy, thank you so much for the phone call. By the way, I want to remind you that tomorrow is Misericordia Family Fest, Sunday, September 9th. Adults, the tickets are $10. Kids are $5. It's at 6300 North Ridge Avenue at Devon. It is so much fun from 11 to 6 p.m. There'll be food, games, and fun for the whole family. Live entertainment. There'll be chance games. The bakery there. There's a car raffle. There's a quilt raffle. Food and drink booths. The art department is out there. The garden plants. All kinds of events are going to be happening. There'll be rainbow dogs there from the pet therapy group. Jesse White Tumblers will show up. The Heartbreakers and the Heart Singers will be singing. There's an Elvis tribute band. There's Pirates Over 40. Chicago Tribute Anthology, which is a Chicago band, tribute band, as well as the Shannon Rovers. I hope you'll join me and my family, because we'll be out there as well to support Misericordia, happening tomorrow from 11 to 6 p.m. House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. We'll be right back.
You know the age-old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
We have old windows, so the cracks run.
But if it is broke, you can always call Lou.
I have a storm door with a screen rip. Could that be replaced?
Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back. Marcia is in Mattoon. Hi, Marcia. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou.
My wife used to date a guy from Mattoon.
Seriously?
Yeah. We went to Millikan. We both went to Millikan University. So there are there's a bunch of kids from Mattoon.
Wow.
There you go. Let's Mattoon talk on Saturday mornings. How can I help you this morning?
We built our house about 20 years ago.
In Mattoon?
In Mattoon. The attached garage door, the walk-in door. Three times now we've either repaired or replaced the door, the frame, or both. It needs it again. Is there a door made of a material where this won't happen every 5 to 8 years?
What do you mean? You mean the man door that you swing in and walk in, you've had to replace that? In 20 years?
Yes, the frame rots, the door rots.
Is the garage built inside of a lake? Why is it rotting? What about the? It's a frame garage, correct?
Right, attached to the house.
And you have siding on it? Is it brick? What is it?
It's siding, brick fronted, but siding over on that side.
And the siding doesn't rot away, just the door?
Just the door frame at the bottom, about the last 8 to 12 inches,
okay.
The lower 8 to 12 inches. The sill is metal. The frame is wood.
Right.
The door is metal, but must be wood inside because it starts to rot.
Wow. Okay, there's no water that collects or pools by the bottom of this door, does it?
No, the sill sits 1 to 2 inches above the concrete, and no water pools below it.
All right. A couple of things we need to do. Whoever is going to replace this door, we need some additional flashing around. When the old door comes out, that frame around it, Grace, G-R-A-C-E, makes a door flashing tape that's going to go on that jam all the way around it, and it's going to fold over. It's going to be cut just perfectly, so it's going to fold over the siding a little bit. And then when the new door goes in, and you're going to get, I would buy a fiberglass man door, because then that's not going to rot. And you can even find some with metal frames and or AZEK frames if you want, because then that's all vinyl that will get installed in there. Or you could have a carpenter do the whole frame and just buy a fiberglass door and hang it yourself. Here's what I would do. Get a good carpentry contractor. Do the door framing around it and have them do that all out of AZEK, which is a vinyl trim. Then they're going to mortise and cut in a fiberglass door into that, trim it out around the siding, and you're never going to replace that door again.
That sounds great.
You got all that?
I do.
AZEK trim, fiberglass door. They're going to hang their own door. They're not going to buy a pre-hung door. And you can put you can buy the sill and everything. It'll cost a little bit more, but less than you replacing this door three times in 20 years.
Right, and we're retirement age. We don't want to replace it anymore.
We're done with all this. We want to enjoy our life in Mattoon. If I come to Mattoon, where am I going to go to dinner?
Oh, you probably better stop in Champaign and eat.
Okay. No, there's not like a local place in Mattoon. Oh, you got to go to Jenny's. There's no place named Jenny's?
No.
No, so I'm eating in Champaign.
Yes.
All right. Well, I thought maybe you and I could meet for dinner somewhere in Mattoon.
Hey, I do want to thank you for introducing Wet and Forget to our lives.
Oh.
That's the best product we've ever owned.
That's so nice. You should maybe spray that on your new door.
Good idea.
Thanks, Marcia. I appreciate you calling. Hey, it's time now to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
You know the saying, less is more? Well, less really is more when talking about the sleek style of the new Shaker interior doors Tom just got in. They're true Shaker doors with no bevels. Now, I love the three-panel look, but you can get them in one or five-panel, too. They have a solid core and are paint-ready. Hey, maybe you even want to make a statement and add a pop of color with, say, a bold Mediterranean blue. It's an easy, affordable way to change up the look of a home. And another reason why I'm always anxious to see what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
You know what I wish this studio had in it? Welcome back to House Smarts. This is the theme music from House Smarts TV. Did you see the musical Hamilton yet? Did you go see Hamilton?
I have, yes.
Joe or Domati, have either one of you seen Hamilton?
I have.
You know how they have the spinning stage?
I'm Lou Manfredini.
Oh, there I am. There you go. That's it. I'll tell you why we played that in just a second. I wish that this studio, we could have made it a rotating studio.
Because so like a view of the city.
Right, so we don't have guests right now. It could be like the signature room and just slowly pivot. That would be cool. Because that way I could look behind me and looking out. You were saying it's you could surf out there. The waves are so high in the lake right now. And Domati said they want people to stay away from the beach. The reason we played that House Smarts theme music is tomorrow marks the 200th episode of House Smarts. We started this show 12 years ago. And I want to tell you a little bit of a story because I'm super proud of that. But I want to there's a local piece of this that I will tell you about coming up in just a little bit as well. 12 years ago, a little bit more than that, I met my partner, a guy by the name of Frank DeGioia, who is based in New York City, and I was working with the folks at Marvin Windows and Doors, and they do work with Marvin. And I was going to this event where I was speaking to a bunch of dealers, and he and I got to know each other, and he turns to me as he's driving, and he says, "How come you don't have a TV show?" And I had already been on the radio for quite some time. I'm very happy on the radio here in Chicago and have branched out to some other markets as well. But this is my home, and this is where you will always hear me. And I said, I don't know. You know, when I was younger and I started in this business, I was approached to do some television shows for HGTV, right when HGTV was launching. My kids were young, and at the time, HGTV did everything in Knoxville, Tennessee. And they go, well, we could have you come down there, and, you know, you would be down there for like 6 weeks filming and this and that. And I was like, I got these small kids. I'm not going to be gone for 6 weeks. And, oh, well, you could come home like every other weekend. And it just didn't fit, right? And so that was part of it. You know, the whole attraction to it, it just wasn't my thing. And, the other thing, I met a bunch of people that wanted to do television shows that I really didn't think they were kind of full of it, and I didn't want to do business with them. The one thing that I've been fortunate enough in my career in many different aspects of it is I've always been able to work with the people that I want to work with, and the people that I don't want to work with, I don't. And, you know, when you're young, Joe and Domati, Lindsay, sometimes you got to kiss a lot of frogs. And I've done all that kissing. Now I just, you know, I don't need the frogs. So Frank said, well, why don't we do a TV show together? And I go, huh. And so he and I invested in this whole idea of House Smarts. We sent out a press release recently, and it's funny how life comes around. Larry Wirt, who you hear that name a lot here at WGN Radio, runs the Tribune Media Services now. But when we started House Smarts, he was the general manager over at NBC5. And I had known Larry a little bit, and we got to know each other a little bit more, and he was the one that gave us a shot on NBC, and we produced 13 episodes originally that only aired in Chicago. And from there, it expanded, lo and behold, he becomes head of Tribune, and we're on a bunch of Tribune stations. And tomorrow will be our 200th episode. And in the television world, we're a little independent TV show. We don't have a huge distributor. We don't have a ton of money behind us. It was just Frank and I that pooled our resources together to make this all happen. And so it's a huge accomplishment. Lindsay not only works here at WGN Radio, but she works for House Smarts as well, and has been very important in our social media part of the whole thing, as well as producing, doing some voiceover work along with producing House Smarts Radio. And there's a bunch of other people that have made huge strides in making this all happen. There's people that you don't know that I know, Bobby and Chris and Dylan and Jonathan and Joey, all these people that have worked, as well as all our correspondents. Andrea Darlis, our own Andrea Darlis here, has been a correspondent for House Smarts for many, many years. It's a huge accomplishment, and we're super proud of it. And I just want to say thank you to those of you that watch. A real big thank you to those that work on the show, because it is a lot of work. I mean, a lot of traveling going across the country and getting this all done. And it's, I'm so appreciative. I never imagined in my life, nor did I seek out to ever be on television or even to be on this radio station. It was just sort of an idea that happened. But the lesson here for any of you that are thinking about doing anything in your life is you need to go for it. And you need to not let the no's stand in your way. So whatever it is you want to accomplish in your life, and whatever obstacle may stand in your way, I tell this to people all the time. Nobody is smarter than me. They're also not any smarter than you. And so trust in yourself. Take the risk. You may fail, but you also might succeed. So a big thank you to all of you who watch every week. This 200th episode, kind of a funny thing, we're actually at a New Jersey State Fair. And the whole thing is about, you know, enjoying the summer and going to a state fair. And I met with this one lady that I interview. And in the middle of the interview, all of a sudden, Orion Samuelson comes to my mind. And I start talking to the lady about Orion Samuelson. I said, you know, I'm from the Midwest. And we're talking about the 4-H club and how they have all these ribbons and people are competing with the livestock and hay and straw and all these different things. And I mentioned the fact that, you know, I'm from the Midwest and I have worked for many, many years with this very well-regarded farm broadcaster named Orion Samuelson. And so he makes a little House Smarts appearance with a lovely photo of him as well. So if you're able to watch our 200th episode, it'll be on Channel 9 tomorrow at 10:30 in the morning. 200 episodes of House Smarts with a little shout-out to our friend and legend, Orion Samuelson, on House Smarts TV. Thank you so much for watching and appreciating it. And again, to all the people that work there. It's 8:48 in the morning. Quick break, and then we'll get back to your phone calls right after this.
Back to your host of House Smarts Radio, Lou Manfredini, on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
Welcome back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lenore has been hanging on for such a long time. Hello, Lenore. How are you? And welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. How can I help you?
I have a patio screen door that my dog has ripped apart because he has a girlfriend who lives upstairs. And every time she walks by, he just jumps at it. And now I have these huge holes.
Is he not aware of the Me Too movement now? That is not acceptable even for a dog. Can't we just have a conversation and say that? Come on.
Well, I've used that screen mend a couple of times, and the second time I used it, it did not mend. It's just like falling off. So what I wanted to do is I want to take the door off and bring it to Ace and have the screen replaced with that pet screening.
Yeah.
And I can't get this door off. There's, you know, those little springy things that are usually on top of the door? I don't have those, and I've tried to get this thing off, and
Is it an aluminum screen door?
Yes.
Okay. And so the aluminum screen door has an aluminum frame around it, right?
Right.
The screen itself that's within the aluminum, is that a solid panel? Like a rectangular panel, that is what you can't get off?
Well, I can't get the door off.
Well, I know you can't get the door off, but that screen itself, when you look at the inside, when you're looking at the inside of the door, you have a full screen, right? It's a full screen, right. Top to bottom, giant rectangle.
Right.
Are you looking at the door right now?
I am.
All right. Yep. Is there, where the screen fits into the door, are you noticing on the inside, right at that edge, is there kind of like a half round, almost like, looks like shoe, quarter shoe right there, where you can feel where that connects to the frame of the door?
I'm not sure what a shoe is. But,
well, okay, so in other words, you have the rectangular frame of the door, okay?
Right.
Now, when you're looking at the vertical piece of that frame, the next piece you see on the inside, closest to the screen, is what?
Yeah, it's like indented from the frame, kind of. So that maybe that's the shoe.
That comes out.
Oh, it does?
It fits in there like a, it's got little tines on it, and it fits into a groove, and it's four pieces, the two top and the bottom. If you get a little putty knife or utility knife and you pop that out, the screen itself will come out.
Oh.
Not the door.
Then do I take the screen? Or
then you take that rectangular screen and you take it to the ace.
Okay.
Now here's the other thing with your crazy dog.
Okay.
Since, you know, love is exciting and new. Come aboard, it's expecting you. You can buy at the Ace. What color is the door? Is it white?
You mean the
door,
trim part?
The door itself, is it white?
No, it's like gray.
Okay, like aluminum. At the Ace, they make a push screen with four little tabs that if you measure the width of that door, if you attach it on the inside of the door, the air will still come through. What's the name of that dog? That
Ollie,
who's in love. When he jumps up on it, he's going to jump on that metal screen that you're going to put four screws on the inside of that door. And if you did that, you wouldn't even need the pet screen because that would protect it. And you could still see...
I bought a piece of plexiglass, and I put it down low, but it's too late now because the screen has ripped
apart. This will look better than the plexiglass.
Okay, so what is it again now?
It's a metal push screen. They come in different widths. Measure the width of the door. Take a picture of the door.
Okay.
Measure the width of the door, and then when you go to the hardware store, they're going to have this metal push screen. Have them rescreen the door, put the push screen... Put the four screws on the screen frame itself, and then you'll go from there. Hang on a second, because I want to send you... Where do you live, Lenore?
In Crete.
In Crete. Crete's what next to where?
Park Forest, Chicago Heights.
Oh, south. Do you have any carpeting?
Carpeting?
Yeah.
I do in my two-bedroom.
Perfect. We're going to send you out a three-room carpet cleaning from Executive Green Carpet Cleaning. Provide a level of clean that no one else in the area can deliver. Visit executivegreencarpetcleaning.com. Hey, coming up, the stories that matter with Doma Tipongo from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Wow, that band is really powerful. Welcome back. House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. This hour of our show is sponsored by Ace Hardware and by wetandforget.com. You know, a good friend of mine, actually, a guy that Quinn used to room with was in the Northwestern marching band. Went to Northwestern, played in the marching band. Got that going for me, which is nice. John Williams is out at, John, when I was a kid, it was called Dyke Stadium.
Yeah, now it's, it says Ryan on the wall in front of me.
Good, because that's what it's called.
Yeah.
You are going to be doing a truncated John Williams experience.
Yes.
From 10 to 10.
30.
Wow, that's really...
What's going on there? Actually, well, by the time Dom T gets done with the news, traffic, sports, Brand goes long on the sports, you know. So really, I don't...
Yeah, now you say it since you're over there.
I know. What are you going to do, run down the hall and punch me? I'm at Northwestern, so by the time I get it, it's like 10:10, and then we break about 10:28. So really, it's about 18 minutes of me here today, Lou.
When's the last time you've been there?
I have not been to, and by the way, this has really been fun. We got here early this morning. Everybody's tailgating, and we're just having a real nice time here, so I don't mind it at all. I'm going to go to the game after this. It's been a lot of fun. But I have not been here in a long time, and I have not seen that new athletic facility they have, which I'm kind of anxious to go over and look at, too. So it's a great day. You know, what's better than the fall and football being on campus? I'm watching some of the marching bands go by. There's a bunch of high schools here. We're at the corner of Ashland and Central in front of Gate L. Just over my shoulder and down Ashland, a half a block, is a hot dog joint called
Mustard's Last Stand.
Isn't that awesome?
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
So we're all set to go. I'm going to be joined a little later on by Dan Persa, who QB'd for Northwestern a few years back. He's going to join us. We'll talk a little bit about it after 10. But for now, just come on by, say hello, and get ready for football.
Sounds good.
I'm going to bring you down. We're going to figure out our audio problem.
And hopefully that'll help. It's something talking with John. And then at 9:30, hopefully we get that all fixed. At 9:30, after the 9:30 news, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking with Dan Persa and John. I think Dave Ennett possibly is going to join us. And I'm going to share with you the cheer that we used to sing when I used to date the girl that went to Northwestern back in the 80s, that they no longer have to cheer anymore. And I still remember it. I mean, I was a high school kid. It was the first time I'd ever been to a football stadium. I will tell you that when I went to Deerfield High School, I think I've told the story on the air, my senior year in high school, Deerfield High School, I believe, Joe Brandy may have to look this up, I believe in 1982 for the state championship football game, Deerfield High School either played St. Rita or Joliet Catholic for the championship at Dyke Stadium. How would you find that, Joe? Is there any way you could look that up? No.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking it up now.
All right.
Give me a second.
I was a football player, Joe, for 1 year in high school. I was a defensive end. I was as tall as I am now. I was much thinner. But I really wasn't a football player, but I was dating a girl that was on the pom-pom squad. So I felt like I had to go out. Joe, did you ever play any football?
I didn't. No. I was too much of a wuss.
I didn't know what I was doing at all. But I thought, I'm going to go out for the football team. And I can remember, and I've told this story before, Ted Albrecht at the time played for the Chicago Bears. And he used to come on our film days on Mondays and watch film with us. And our coach would go whatever. And I got into one varsity game once, maybe two. I think we were beating the team terribly. And some kid on the other team, I can't even remember, but he stood me up and pushed me back like 10 yards, you know? And the coach didn't even know who I was. And in the film, who's number 75? And I'm sitting in the room, who's number 75? And there's Ted Albrecht looking around like, who's number? And I'm like, I'm number 75. What is that kid doing to you? You're blowing. And got yelled at right then and there. That was like my entry to football, the whole thing.
Do you think he'll remember that?
Ted Albrecht? I've told him that story.
Yeah.
He doesn't remember it. But I do remember he was the one where he walked in and he was wearing a pink Oxford shirt. And I said to Ted Albrecht, as a punk, you know, 16-year-old kid, hey, nice pink shirt. And he looked at me and he goes, when you're over 6'3", it's called salmon. Was I right about that? Did we play Rita or did we play?
I can't find it.
Anyway, Deerfield lost. I was the mascot for that game. We were the Deerfield Warriors, and I was dressed like a gladiator, like with a chest protector and everything. And we played at Dyke Stadium. So that was the first time I was ever there. And then as I was dating this girl and she went to Northwestern, I went to subsequent games. And I would tell you after 9:30 what the cheer was. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's go to Mary, who's in Wisconsin. Hi, Mary.
Good morning, Mr. Lou. I'm so happy to be able to ask you my question today.
Sure.
I have looked into three different gutter guards. And the two that are very well advertised are beyond my budget. But I came across a third one, and may I name the product?
Of course.
It's Raindrop.
Yep.
And I'm wondering your opinion on that particular
Gutter Guard.
So there's so many different types out there that you're absolutely right. One of the ones that you hear me advertising is Leaf Guard, which is a whole system that they put in there, and it probably is the most expensive that you could put on your home.
It is. Yes.
It is an added value proposition, and for many people, it's the right choice. But, of course, everybody has a different budget. There's Raindrop. There's, what's the one that, Spring Rock. There's a bunch of different brands out there as well. And they all make good solutions based on the budget that you can afford. The key is you got to make sure that the people putting in there know what they're doing. That's important.
Yes.
As opposed to when you're talking about putting a gutter guard over your existing gutter, it is...
No, I'm having complete... I have 5-inch gutters now, and I'm going to a 6-inch gutter.
So you're going to have new gutters installed, and then you're going to put this over the top.
Correct.
And when you add all that up, it's still less expensive than the other ones, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I mean, I have no problem with those other ones. It keeps you off the roof. It'll keep you safe. There's no question. So I have no problem with you if that makes you, you know, if that's the way you want to go, then absolutely. No, yes. No problem.
It's within my budget, but I have two locust trees in the front.
Yeah.
And I've been told, oh, those leaves are going to get in the Raindrop, or in the other two, they won't get in on the Leaf Guard and the Spring Rock.
Well, the thing with both of those is the key is the downspouts and the size of the lookouts that they use so that the water flows out of there. And the one of the things that Leaf Guard does is they have a patented, what they call an outlook, that's a large, almost trough that they use to make sure that when that water goes in there, it gets out there as quickly as possible. So when they're doing, you know, if you're going to do the other gutter guard, make sure that along with your larger gutters, they're using larger downspouts and larger lookouts.
I asked for that, and they said yes.
Perfect. Well, then it sounds like you got it good to go there, Mary. I think it'll be just fine. Thank you so much for your phone call. Let's talk to Sharon, who's in Franklin Park. Sharon, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. Lou, I went on vacation, and I was gone a week. We have this ceiling fan and light in our bedroom, and we never had a problem with it until we came back from vacation. When we came back, the ceiling fan works perfect, but the light, when you turn it on, it flickers off and on. My husband tried to change the thing where you turn it light off and on, and it was nothing wrong with that. Everything was the same. It still flickers off and on. I don't know if it could be the light fixture in the ceiling or the electric, or I don't know. Do you have any ideas?
Did we change the bulb?
Oh, yeah. It's got like 4 bulbs in it, you know, and they come on and off. They just flicker off and on all the time. All of them.
The fan control switch that you have, is it an electronic system that connects with the fan? Is it one of those intelligent switches? What kind of fan is it?
No, I don't think so. We have like the cords you pull, you know.
The cords you pull? So you know,
to turn the...
Oh, so you just turn...
You can either do that or you can turn it on the wall.
Okay, so you just have 2 switches on the wall.
Right.
And you turn the switch on, and if you're going to adjust the fan, you pull the chain. And if you're going to turn the light on, you just pull the chain.
Right, if you want to turn it off. I mean, but the light comes off and on. We have two things on the wall. I mean, it's one, but it's got 2 things to turn off and on. One's for the light and one's for the fan.
But ultimately, you can turn, when both those switches are on, you can adjust the fan and turn the lights on and off with the cords.
Right.
And now they flicker all the time.
Right. The light won't come on. The fan works perfect, but the light flickers off and on. It won't stay on. And then sometimes when you turn it on, it won't come on at all. And then the next time you try it, it'll flicker.
All right. That's interesting. My only suggestion at this point is you've got to drop the housing up at the top to see if for some reason there's a wire that is loose feeding the light portion of the fixture, then it's just not, that connection's not sharp. If your husband's already changed out the switch and everything's nice and tight there, then my only next suggestion, because there's no dimmer, no anything else, it's just a straight connection point, it's got to be a loose wire mm-hmm. up in the ceiling portion to the light portion of the ceiling fan, and that would be the next thing that I would check.
Okay, because it's strange it happened all of a sudden like
I know.
That. We were gone a week, and then it doesn't work.
How was your vacation?
It was nice. We went on a senior cruise.
Very nice. Maybe you should go back on the cruise and not have to worry about this. Right. You're ready. Give that a shot, Sharon, and it should work out just fine for you. Thanks so much for the phone call. 9:21 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Here he is now, repairing the world one light bulb at a time. Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
She does sort of sound like you. That's Lindsay's sister. Thank you, Kristen.
I'm better.
Well, Joe Brand did find that Deerfield High School lost in the 1982 state championship to Joliet Catholic. There's no mention of me as the mascot.
Well, there technically is. And again, if you click on the link,
yeah.
And it just brings up the headline from the old Chicago Tribune. It says,
right.
Deerfield mascot, first in school history to affect outcome of game.
It was so cold.
Wait, it really says that?
No, it doesn't. Oh, my God. Don't do that. Do not do that. I can't believe you did that. I even told you he said that, and then you said that. Oh, my God. He's just a good salesman. Joe can sell it. That's right.
Well,
it was so cold. I think I told you, the girls told me to wear pantyhose. I've said this. Because it was a gladiator outfit. I looked like the guy from 300. What was that movie?
300,
right?
Yeah. What's that song that talks about grandma getting run over by a reindeer?
What's that song? Yeah. So the girls go, oh, wear pantyhose. It'll keep you warm. That is a lie. Pantyhose do not keep you warm. And I looked ridiculous.
Wait, so you did wear them or you didn't?
I did, and then I was like, I'm not any warmer, and then I took them off.
I feel like you should just move on.
Yeah, take off the pantyhose, Lou. They don't make you warmer.
Let's talk to Marilyn.
Okay. Here we are. Hi, Marilyn and us, sweet. Marilyn?
Hi. How are you?
You know, right? Do pantyhose really keep you warmer in the winter?
No, they don't.
Thank you. No. Where were you in 1982?
Don't even ask, Lou, because I'm going to tell you a story first, a short one. I called you once before, and I am 90 years old and live in a single-family home in a senior development.
All right.
And in this development, they have a kind of a coffee klatch. And the next time I went to that coffee meeting, I must have had more than a dozen people rush up to me and say, was that you I heard on Lou Manfredini?
Oh, that's so nice.
Wasn't that sweet? And I felt like a celebrity, and I want you to know what a hit you are with all the old timers.
Well, thank you very much. How can I help you?
Well, I got a problem. I have had a leak under my kitchen sink. I didn't know it was there because I don't bend down that far anymore. But I discovered it was there when I woke up one morning and the floor. So I took a look, and apparently it had been there long enough that it had caused the bottom of my kitchen cabinet to rot. It
looked
terrible.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've had one guy out, and he said, we really couldn't locate the leak, but I had one guy out, and he said it was a cold water something or other. He showed it to me. I don't know what it was.
The water line.
So I guess, yeah. So he replaced whatever it was, and I thought for a while it was okay, and then it started again, not nearly as intense, but it was there, and I mopped it up, and I thought, well, it's going to go away, and it did again for a while. Well, it's back, and obviously, I am going to have somebody out again, but because of all of this, it has leaked enough on my wooden kitchen floor that it has warped the floor slightly, and it has totally discolored it. Now, I remember a while back you talking about a new product that I believe was laminate. I'm not sure. That kind of hooked together or something. Anyway, what do you recommend for a kitchen floor that is going to get wet and has a lot of wear and tear and so forth? Because I'm going to have to replace this floor.
Okay. The thing that I want you to do, Marilyn, is on that leak area, if you have the ability to get down under that cabinet, is take some toilet paper and wrap it, and wrap the toilet paper around the cold water line and the hot water line. The reason
I don't know which one is. I don't know which lines those are. Ooh.
Well, both of them. You'll have two. You'll see two valves down there. The reason
I can't do that anyway. I can't get down that valve. I'll tell somebody else to do it. Okay.
My point is that will let you know what's leaking because the toilet paper will get wet and you'll be able to see it. And
fair
so
enough,
if you can have somebody do that, that's great. As far as a waterproof floor, one of the things that they have out there now are these luxury vinyl tile floors that look beautiful. They are completely waterproof. And you'll be really, really pleased with how durable they are. There's not a lot of wear and tear that you're going to have to worry about. And if they do get wet, it's not a problem whatsoever. So you want to talk to a flooring contractor and or supplier and have them show you the different lines of luxury vinyl tile. Marilyn, thank you so much. Just bumping up against time. It's 9:30 in the morning, 9:33 in the morning.
You're listening to Lou. That's right, that Fix-It Guy. Right here on House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN.
Sailing these kind of deep seas. Now she headed.
Welcome back. 9:40 in the morning. Before we switch gears and start talking to John Williams down at Northwestern, I want to take a quick call here, finish up with Bonnie, who's in Naperville. Bonnie, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call. I want to ask, I live in a, I don't know if it matters, I live in a condo building, three floors, six units. And in one of the bathrooms, sometimes, and especially since we've been getting so much rain, I get a really foul odor in that bathroom. And I don't get that odor in the other bathroom. And I get that from the bathroom where the shower is. So I don't know why it happens when it's with all of the rain we've
been getting. This bathroom is on what floor?
It's on the main level.
Which is the ground floor?
Yes.
Okay. Do you use that shower?
No, I don't.
Okay. Here's what I want you to try, just as a test. Well, let me ask you this. The shower is a shower base. What is it, a fiberglass shower base with a drain in the center? Tell me what it is.
Yes, that's what it is, a fiberglass shower, you know, the shower room itself.
Mm-hmm.
With a drain in the center of the
No
floor.
Leaking, no water infiltrating this room that you can see anywhere.
Not at all.
Okay. I think what you have is a stinky drain. And I think that when it rains a lot, you're getting moisture in the groundwater, and that's warming the drain, and that's where the odor's coming from. I want you to pop the cover that is covering the drain. It either has two screws, or you can get a little screwdriver, and that cover will pop off, and it'll expose the pipe that is the drain, okay?
Right. Yes.
Take a toilet brush and some Pine Sol. You're going to stick the toilet brush in that drain, and you're going to pour a little Pine Sol over the top of it, and you're going to scrub that drain on all the way around it, all the way down to the trap. You know, it holds water down there, which is keeping the odor coming up there. Hopefully, if you shine a flashlight down there, you should see water.
Okay.
That you're not getting that odor. But I think you have gunk and whatever built up on the side, and as it warms up from the warm weather and the water gets there, it causes that odor to come in there, and when you scrub that,
yes.
I think you'll solve the problem.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Call me back next week and let me know if that worked, okay?
I'll do that. Thanks so much.
Good lady. Thank you so much for calling. Now we're going to switch gears a little bit, head on out to Ryan Field, where Northwestern is about to have their home opener against Duke. So, John, real quick, yeah. I was teasing this early this morning. I dated a girl in high school that went to Northwestern. and she was there. I would go to the football games with her, and I would go to what was then Dyke Stadium. And Northwestern was not very good. I asked Joe Brand to check what their record was in 1981, 1982. Any idea what you think Northwestern's record was in football in 1981?
Well, I know they were once upon a time not that good, but it seems to me like for a long time now they've been pretty dang good. Dave Bennett, help me out.
I would say they were... Well, I don't really like to look back at those days,
I know.
But I would say they were 1-10 or 0-11 or possibly tied a game. They played a scoreless tie with Illinois one of those years. to start the season in Champaign.
They were 0-11. In 1981-1982. And one of the cheers that the kids would do, and mind you, I'm a 17-year-old kid now, is right. We would be in the stands singing, "That's all right, that's okay, you're going to work for us someday."
I know. I hate that.
But they don't do that anymore.
No, they don't do it anymore, and they don't go 0-11 or anything close to that anymore. Those are the bad old days. Oh. They just delete that from the memory bank.
Oh, my gosh.
What a lousy introduction.
Yeah,
Lou.
Thanks, Lou.
No. My point is... Those days are long gone. This is 1981. Half the people working on the show were in diapers. If not
some
even
of us,
I wasn't born yet.
Not
some
even
of us
alive.
Were, yeah. Some of us
yeah,
were
Dan
out Burson of college.
Wasn't even born.
Some of us were out of college at that time.
So here's what we've got, Lou. We are sitting here with the with a team of people. You've got, of course, Dave Bennett getting ready to do the play-by-play. Adam Hogue is here, too. Hi, Adam.
Hey, everybody.
Also, Dan Persa. Longtime Northwestern quarterback, last playing in
2011.
I was going to say, please don't be one of those years they were 0-11. Please,
No. He was a fine quarterback for Northwestern. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we're going to hang out here until my show ends at 10:30, Mr. Manfredini.
Yeah. You know, I'm always very conflicted because not only obviously WGN being the voice of and Dave Ennett being the voice of the Wildcats, but we broadcast the games. I've always been a Northwestern fan, and I actually think even those lean years back in the 80s was the first time I was introduced to a college experience, and I've always loved the purple. Here I have a son now that went to and graduated from Michigan. And whenever Michigan played Northwestern, I got to tell you, I was always kind of rooting for Northwestern.
Were you really?
Yeah, I mean, just because it's like anything. When you're a fan and it goes right back, you have that in you. And I would never tell that to my son, who's probably listening now. But Northwestern's given Michigan some pretty good games over the years.
Well, they have. And they play here the next Big Ten game. Will be here on September 29th. That game's already sold out. Yep. And that's.
Can you help me out, Dave, with a couple of tickets maybe to that?
If there's no more of that,
maybe I can take a press pass and come up to the booth.
Might be able to do that. But you have to elbow a couple of your fellow WGN employees out of the way for those tickets.
I'm sure Joe Romano already has elbowed his way in.
Joe, Chris Duffy, and you name them.
But the vibe for Northwestern all those years was, it's a really good school. So we won't worry about how competitive the football team is. Maybe they'll do well and that'll be fun. But now I think we have our cake and eat it. It's still a great academic institution, but they're a legitimate Big Ten power. They're a good football team.
Well, sure. And I would ask, Dan. Dan, where did you grow up and where did you go to high school?
So I grew up in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and I went to a school called Liberty High School. It's old steel town, Penn State country through and through, and I didn't know, you know, a ton about Northwestern. And, you know, this is the mid-2000s. All I knew was when, you know, Brett Bazinet was playing Penn State that this was this purple team out in Chicago that was in the Big Ten. And as they started to recruit me, it came apparent that it's a, you know, a great school and a great football team. So I was excited to get out here, and now obviously I'm sticking around, and the program has been brought to new heights through Coach Fitz, and it's been a lot of fun.
Were you recruited by Coach Fitz?
Yes. So it was actually an interesting story. So Fitz was the recruiting coordinator when I was getting recruited, and Coach Randy Walker was still there. And unfortunately, he passed away. Yeah. You know, literally. So I committed to him, and then he sent me a handwritten note. After he'd already passed away. So I got the note saying, you know, congrats for committing. We're really excited. And he had already passed away. So it was a crazy time, but Fitz came in right away. They named him the new head coach and kept the majority of the staff. So it wasn't, you know, a huge transition, but Fitz has obviously done a great job. You know, at that point he was the youngest coach in college football. And now he's, you know, still pretty young, but has been at it for, you know, 12, 13 years. So, he's been around the whole time I was part of the program.
My question, Dave Ennett, remind me, cause I have a friend that coached for Northwestern, was an assistant coach. Did Coach Fitz play under Dennis Green?
No, he did not. No, he played under Gary Barnett.
Gary Barnett.
And, Dennis coached here in the mid-80s, early to mid-80s, and then was succeeded by Francis Pay, who was one of his assistants.
Got it.
And then, just to give you an idea, I think it was Francis Pay was Big Ten Coach of the Year for winning four games back in the mid-'80s, mid to late-'80s. And then he was fired after the 1991 season and replaced by Gary Barnett. And in 1995, they had that storybook year where they went to the Rose Bowl. They went 8-0 and won the Big Ten and beat Notre Dame to start the season, beat Michigan, beat Penn State.
What a season.
It was an unbelievable season. And then they came back the next year and won the Big Ten again. And Fitz was the National Defensive Player of the Year both those seasons.
Wow.
Think about that.
Wow.
So.
What a great, I mean, it's such a great legacy, right? And he, I know that all of us, and certainly Dave, you know him better than all of us, but I mean, he just is a quality person and it starts from the top, right? And you look at these players that, you know, like John said, it's a really good school, but over time, it's developed into one of the premier college football programs that really kind of blends the both, right? The education is very important, but the quality of the play is amazing as well.
Well, and I think the fact that they've been able to maintain that balance and actually, I mean, their graduation rate consistently leads major college football. The APR, which is another measuring stick for academic success, they're always among the national leaders. And at the same time, they've got 28 wins, I believe, over the last three-plus seasons, something like that. And they've gone to bowl games, and they've won back-to-back bowl games the last 2 years. And, you know, they're off to a good start this year. It should be really good, and this should be a great game today.
Yeah, so. I'm really looking forward to it. Right, hold on, gentlemen out there. We need to take a quick break here on 720 WGN. It's 9:50 in the morning. You're listening to Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio, with a little bit of football talk out there at Northwestern with our crew of folks that are out there before the home opener that's going to happen between Northwestern and Duke. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, we've all got our areas of expertise. Lou's area just happens to be your house.
I've been listening to you for a few months now. Try to catch you saying something not quite right, but you got it all going on.
Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
Welcome back. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio, with a little Northwestern football talk on the just a couple hours before the home opener at Ryan Field, where John Williams is stationed. Where are you exactly, Johnny? Are you in the hot dog stand?
No, although where we are right now, you can see the Harold's chicken truck and the I-94 barbecue truck right next to ours. We have sampled the food from both of those places.
Did you get the rib tips from Harold's? They're fantastic.
What did we get? We got chicken. We got the chicken from Harold's.
Fantastic.
We got two orders of the four-piece, and then we got the barbecue tips from the I-94 truck.
Right.
So, and you know what? We weren't even hungry, but it just seemed to be the right thing to do.
Can't let them down.
By the way, Adam Hogue is joining us at the table now. What are you going to be doing for the game today?
Well, I'll be down on the sidelines. And see, Dave always gets mad at me because this is my fourth year on the broadcast. So all I've seen are two 10-win seasons and three straight bowl games.
So maybe they should have hired you a long time ago.
He gets angry about that because he saw all the bad times, too, that we were talking about in the last segment.
Yeah, no kidding.
But,
yeah.
No, I mean, it's just going to continue this year, I think.
That's a good team. That's great. All right, well, gentlemen, I know, John, you're going to be coming up and hosting a half an hour after the report of news. We will listen with bated breath and go Cats for sure.